Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah Daf Chaf Beis. We're holding at the Mishnah on the top of Daf Chaf Beis Amid Aleph, although I do want to go back to discuss a little bit of what we spoke about at the end of Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. So the last little piece we did on today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, also by Seymour Gertz and family in memory of Seymour's father, Rav Aryeh Leib ben Rabbi Eliezer Isaac, Alav HaShalom, whose yard site was on Yud Zayin Av, and also the Zecher Nishmas, our neighbor Gavril Simcha ben Shner Zalman Halevi, and Sham Shavn Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the last thing we were discussing on Chaf Aleph Amid Beis was about supporting Schach with Kirei Hamita and the different possibilities of what the problem is. Is it because it's Ein Lakeva, or is it because it's Ma'amido B'davar HaMekabel Tumah? The Mishnah on the top of Chaf Beis Amid Aleph is going to discuss a Sukkah HaMeduvleles, and it's going to tell us that it's such a Sukkah is Kosher. But what in the world is a Sukkah HaMeduvleles? The Gemara is going to have two explanations of what that means. The Gemara is then going to tell us that if the gap of height, if you have scattered Schach, where some of it is higher than others, if the gap of the height is less than 3 Tfachim, or even if the gap is more than 3 Tfachim, but the width of the Schach is 1 Tfach wide, then the schach is going to be kosher. It's all going to be mitztarif with each other. Less than 3 tefachim because of lavud. If it's more than 3 tefachim of gap in height, but it's more than 1 tefach wide, then we have a new principle called chavut rami, where we assume that that which is higher up is lower down to get to be even with that which is beneath it. The Gemara is going to bring a raya that chavut rami only applies when it's a tefach wide, and that's why we're going to make that qualification. And then on Amid Beis, the Gemara is going to try to bring a case, from a case of beams by a mavoi, that you don't need a tefach wide to say chavut rami, but we're going to reject that raya. So in the end, we're going to require a tefach of width in order to apply this new principle, this new halacha l'Moshe Sinai that we have not yet discussed, called chavut rami. Then toward the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to have a stira between Mishnayos. We know that the schach is supposed to have more shade than sunlight, and that it cannot have more sunlight than shade. Which of those is the rule? Meaning, what if it's exactly 50-50? What if it's the same? So that's going to be a stira between two Mishnayos, and then at the very end, before the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to have machlokas if the schach is so thick that rays of sunlight are not able to enter through the schach. Is the sukkah kasher or not? We're probably not going to do the next Mishnah today. So just to begin, before we start the Mishnah on top of Chaf Beis Amid Aleph, I think it's an important point, halacha lemaisa, to be made based on the last Gemara that we did. So if you recall, we said in the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Aleph and Beis, that Rabbi Yehuda says that the Mishnah said that if you're a somich sukasa b'kirei amita, it's kosher. And Rabbi Yehuda said, no, if it's not able to stand independently, it's going to be pasul. So we had a machlokas. Why does Rabbi Yehuda think that if the schach cannot stand independent of the kirei amita, that it's going to be pasul? Meaning that when the schach is resting on the bedpost, that it's going to be pasul. So we said it was a machlokas between Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel, that one of them said because ein lakeva, and the other one said because it's mesach, because it's ma'amido b'davar hamekabel tumah. We pointed out enough kamina between them whether it's ein lakeva, because sometimes you could be ma'amid b'davar hamekabel tumah, but we'll have a great sense of kvius, like you use metal rods to hold up the schach, very kavua, very strong, but it's still going to be ma'amid b'davar hamekabel tumah. So really, la halacha, there are two questions that need to be asked. First of all, do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in the first place? Meaning, Tanakama, the Mishnah said that you're something because of b'kirei amita. It's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said that no, if you can't stand without the b'kirei amita, it's going to be possible. So, do we paskin like Tanakama, in which case the whole issue of maimed doesn't get off the ground? So that's one. And two, even if we do paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're not allowed to have a maimed, do we? Which of the explanations do we paskin like? Is it an issue of kvius or is it an issue of maimed? There is a so the Rosh in Perek Gimel Siman Aleph writes that from the Rif it appears that the Rif paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. Why does the Rif paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Because the whole sugya was within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakam in the Mishnah said that it's no problem to be somich the schach b'kirei amita. Rabbi Yehuda said it is a problem, and the Gemara's whole discussion is, oh, why is it a problem? What's an enough gemita between the two reasons that it's a problem. So the whole discussion, the Gemara, is within Rabbi Yehuda, that gives the impression that we passing like Rabbi Yehuda. Which of the reasons of Rabbi Yehuda? So says the Rash, we paskin like the Shita that holds that the psul is because of Ein Lo Keva. And he quotes Yerushalmi that the reason that the sukkah is that the sukkah is not Keva is because it doesn't have 10 tfachim between the Makom HaYeshiva Alamita until the Schach. And therefore, says the Rash, if there is 10 tfachim between the place where you're Yoshev Alamita to the Schach, then there's no psul, because then it is Yesh Lo Keva. Then it is something that's considered Keva. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins the Halacha in Tafresh Lamed Sif Yud Gimel, meaning essentially, La Halacha, Maimed is not an issue. There is no din of being Maimed B'davar HaMekabel Tuma. However, the Mishabur and Sivkat Nuntas writes that L'chadchila, we should try to be careful not to be Maimed the Schach with a Davar HaMekabel Tuma, because some of the poskim are machmir about this. And the poskim say that that's our minag. Our minag is to be machmir like this Shita. The Rosh asks, if you hold that the psul is because of Maimed B'davar HaMekabel Tuma, how do you ever put up Schach? Meaning, let's say you have walls made out of stone and you put the schach over the wall, so the sukkah is going to be not kosher because you're being maimed with stone walls that are able to be mekabel tumah. So the Ran suggests that if you're maimed the schach on a kosel, it's going to be kosher l'chol adeos, because the reason that it's also to be maimed with the davar mekabel tumah is because of a gzeira that you might come to be mesakech with the davar mekabel tumah itself. But you don't have to worry in a kosel shel avanim that you might come to use it for schach. It would be totally impractical to use avanim for schach. But the minhag olam is to not be maimed b'davar mekabel tumah, even on a kosel. Even if you have fiberglass or metal or whatever kinds of walls that are mekabel tumah, or cloth walls that are mekabel tumah, the minhag is we're not maimed the schach with that, because we're choshish for the shita of the Bach and Simon Tav Reish Chaf Tes, who holds that the psul of maimed b'davar mekabel tumah is a psul midoraisa and not only a psul midrabanan. So even if you're maimed with a kosel that's pasul l'sikuch, the sukkah is going to be pasul. But the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish write that we shouldn't be machmir but when you're being maimed b'kosel shel avanim. So what if you're maimed the schach b'davar hamekabel tuma? You have a sukkah with a metal frame, and you put the posts on it, and you lay out the schach not directly on the metal frame, but what if you put boards on it? Is that enough? So Rav Poskim say, yeah, then you're not being maimed b'davar hamekabel tuma, because you've placed 2x4s that the schach is really resting on. However, the shita of the Chazon Ish in Arachayim Sim Kuf Mem Gimel Siv Katan Beis is that even in such a case the sukkah is going to be pasul, because you view the posts as if they're a part of the schach, meaning whatever those boards are, they're just considered part of the schach. So the entirety of the schach is resting on the metal walls, and that's going to still be a maimed. So the Chazon Ish essentially paskins that a maimed to maimed is also a problem. So some people try to be machmir about that, but that's a very difficult thing. You need to have an independent, if you have, let's say, a metal frame, you would need to have an independent structure that supports the schach that's made purely out of wood, and that it's not the frame that's supporting the wood that in turn supports the schach, because according to Chazon Ish, that would be a problem. However, as Rav Shachter pointed out, when we were learning sukkah, you have to realize it's a chumrah al gabi chumrah. The whole din of maimed is a chumrah to begin with. It's not really meikra din. Meikra din, even though it's true, we do pass on like Yehuda, but we pass like the other reason. We pass the name Lakeva. So Mishnah Berurah says we try to be machmir, not to be maimed b'davar mekabel tumah. It's not going to passel the sukkah if we're maimed b'davar mekabel tumah. The Bach holds it passels the sukkah, but that's not the way we really paskin la halacha. A lot of times when people are making the sukkah, they think it's the only halacha in Hilchos Sukkah is the din of maimed. We learned so many halachas of Hilchos Sukkah. People have no walls, have no nothing, but this might be a maimed to maimed or whatever. So there are a lot of other halachas in Hilchos Sukkah. This one is a chumrah. It's a chumrah we try to observe, but it's a chumrah. To say that Chazon Ish already, that's a chumrah al gabe chumrah. That's a lot of chumrahs to put together. Okay, so let's see the Mishnah on the top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. You have sukkah hamiduvlela. So sukkah that is miduvlela. So Gemara is going to determine, going to explain to us what that means. Vishat silasim rumei chamasa. Or you have a sukkah that is more shade than sunlight. Kshera. So such a sukkah is going to be kosher. Rashi already raises the question, wait a second, this sounds awfully familiar. On Daf Beis Amud Aleph, we already learned that if a sukkah needs to have more shade than sunlight, because the very first mission in the Masechta told us not only about the sukkah samala mechafama or lamata me asaretzvachim, but it had a third case, v'shachamasa meruba mitzilasim, psula. The very first mission, the Masechta said that if there's more sun than shade, then it's going to be puzzle. So says Rashi, lekala kshuye tanina chadazimna. Don't ask the question that we already learned this once. Shechamasim rumitznas a psula because einan doma zula zu. Because the two Mishnayos are not saying the same thing. Not only are they not saying the same thing, they're actually a stira with each other. And if you wait till the end of the daf shir today, we'll see how the Gemara asks it as a stira one or the other, and therefore it's not considered to be a repetitive Mishnah, because to the contrary, the Mishnah is trying to teach us something by the fact that it formulates it in two different, the formulates this halacha of requiring more shade and less sunlight in two different ways to teach me some sort of din. So Amuva Kamin Bayis, the Mishnah goes on that if the schach is so thick that it's like a bayis, Avu Bishena Kochav Nir Mitocha Ksheira. Even though you're unable to see the stars from inside the sukkah is still going to be kosher. So says Mar, okay, now let's just touch up the term. My Meduvlala. So the first halacha we said in the Mishnah is that a sukkah that's Meduvlalas is kosher. What does that word mean? So two explanations. Number one, Amar Rav Sukkah Aniya. It means a sukkah that's very sparsely covered with schach, that there's not too much thickness of the schach, and there are a lot of gaps, a lot of air spaces, but those air spaces are all less than 3 tvachim. So that's a mituvlelas according to Rav. Ushmuel amar kana ola v'kana yoreh. And Shmuel says, no, sukkah mituvlelas means that the schach is scattered in terms of its height, that there are some parts of the schach that are lower down and other parts that are elevated a little bit. Kana ola kana yoreh. So Rav tani chadu, Shmuel tani tarti. Rav learns that the first line of the Mishnah is really only telling us one halacha, and Shmuel holds that the first line of the Mishnah is actually telling us two separate halachas. Rav Tani Chada Sukkah Meduvlalas May Meduvlalas Meduldalas Shetilas Amru Mechamasa Ksheira. Now when the Mishnah says Meduvlalas Vishetilas Amru Mechamasa Ksheira, it's really the same halacha. It's saying that if you have a sparsely covered sukkah, that the schach is very spread out, as long as it's Tzilas Amru Mechamasa, then it's going to be kosher. So it's all one halacha that you need enough schach that it's Tzilas Amru Mechamasa. Ushmol Tani Tarti, but Shmuel says, no, it's telling me two separate halachos. May meduvlelas mevulbelas. Meduvlelas means that it's scattered in terms of the height of the schach. Vitarti katani, so it's telling me two halachos. That sukkah mevulbelas kshera, that if a sukkah's schach is scattered in terms of its height, it's going to be kosher. And a second halacha, v'shitzilasimru mechamasa, kshera, that if there's more shade than there is sunlight, then it's going to be kosher as well. So that's two separate halachos. How do we paskin la-halacha? Do we paskin like Rav? Or do we paskin like Shmuel? So the Rosh says that we paskin like Shmuel because we're about to have a whole shaklevitaria in the Gemara within the Shita of Shmuel. Abaye and Rav are going to have a whole discussion within the Shita of Shmuel. And that is one of the indicators of how to paskin, that the Shita that the Gemara spends more time on is very often the Shita that the Gemara paskins like. Meaning we do try to discuss Shitas that we reject as well, but usually it will be a limited discussion. If we're going to have more of a discussion on one particular Shita, that's an indicator. It's not a Raya Brura, but it's an indicator that we paskin like that Shita. Also could be that Rav doesn't disagree with Shmuel. It's just that the Mishnah is not talking about that. Meaning Rav might agree that Kana Ola Kana Yoreh, that we're going to say the Sukkah is going to be kosher. Rav just holds it's not what the word Meduvlalas means. It could be that it's Shula Halacha, but it's not what the Mishnah told me. They're arguing about how to interpret the Mishnah. They may not be arguing la halacha. The Rif doesn't bring the whole Shakla Vitaria we're about to see between Abaye and Rava, and the Rosh says it must be because the Rif paskins like Rav, and that's why he doesn't bring the whole discussion within Shita Shmuel. So there would be no nafkamina in this whole discussion between Abaye and Rava. So the Rosh just raises the question. It sounds like Abaye and Rava are Basra'i, and they hold like Shmuel, and normally we assume that Hilchot Basra'i, that the later generations of the Amoraim are more authoritative because they're the midgets standing on the shoulders of giants. We assume that that we paskin like the later generations. So the Achronim work on that question that they have on the Rif. Why it is that the Rif does not paskin like Shmuel? Now, a standard you would imagine if it was just straight Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, Hilchasa Karav Bisuri. We should really paskin like Rav and not like Shmuel. Problem over here is that it seems that Abaye and Rava are more fixated on the sheet of Shmuel, which indicates that they must have paskin like Shmuel. So again, let's see what Abaye and Rava actually say. So again, Shmuel sheet is that sukkah mudvlalis means that the schach is scattered in terms of its height, and we say that that's going to be kosher. Some Rabbi Loshanu El Shein Bein Zelaze Shlosh Tfachim. Al Yesh Bein Zelaze Shlosh Tfachim Psula. That's only if the gap of height between the lower schach and the upper schach is less than 3 tfachim. But if it's more than 3 tfachim, it's going to be possible. Why 3 tfachim? So very obviously, lovely. Right, within 3 tfachim, we can utilize the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that we've been utilizing the entire time throughout this Masechta, and that is the din of lavud, that a gap of airspace of less than 3 tfachim, we view it as if it's closed off, and therefore we view all the schach as if it's on one even surface. We don't view it as if it's on different levels. Amar Rava, Rava says, you know what? It doesn't have to be within 3 tfachim of each other. Afilu yesh bein zelaze shlosh tfachim. Even if there is more than 3 tfachim in between the upper level schach and the lower level schach, nami larmin el she'in begagno tefach. It's only going to be a problem if there's less than 1 tefach of width of the schach. Avil yesh begagno tefach. But if the width of the schach is a tefach, kshera, then it's still going to be kosher, even though the gap between the heights of the schach is more than 3 tefachim, because there's another halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim that we have not yet used. Darminan chavot rami. And that is chavot rami. Chavot rami means we take things of different elevations and we view them as if they are parallel, as if they're on the same, they're level with each other. So as long as you have something that's a tefach of width, then you can apply this principle of chavot rami, of viewing them as if they're on the same level with each other. The Baal HaShlama writes, it could be that Abaye doesn't disagree with that, that he's moda that if it's tefach, that it's going to be kosher even if it's more than 3 tefachim. However, in Nagos Maimonios, in the 5th parak of Sukkah, he says for sure Abaye disagrees with Rava, and he holds that because Abaye just made an ironclad, you know, a clear rule with no exceptions. Abaye said the rule is if there are more than 3 tefachim of space in difference of height between the two levels of schach, it's possible. He did not say, oh, but if there's 1 tefach, then it's okay. If there's 1 tefach of thickness of width, it's okay. So Abaye must disagree with Rava. So that's a machlokas in the Akronim, whether Abaye necessarily disagrees with Rava over here or not. But Rava is telling us this important chiddush, that we apply this principle of chavad rami if the schach is 1 tefach wide. So Amar Rava mina aminala, where do I get such a chiddush? Dechiyis betefach, amrin chavad rami, chlesve lo amrin chavad rami, that there's a principle called chavad rami, and we apply this principle when there's a tefach, and we don't apply this principle when there's no tefach. Where does that come from? So Ditanan, we get it from the following Mishnah. The Mishnah Maseches Ahalos that talks about the halachos of Tumah and Tara. There's so many places which make a list of all the places that we assume that Sukkah and Ohel have the same dinim as each other. Someone just sent me an email yesterday asking, where do we learn, how do we know that Sukkah and Ohel have all the same dinim? I'm not sure how we know it, but we definitely know it, because the Gemara, like on every daf so far, has told us parallels between the dinim of Sukkah and the dinim of Ohel. Right? Sukkah tachas Sukkah, even if the top Sukkah, according to one sheet, there's 1 tefach high, so it's a problem with sukkah tach sukkah. Why? Where do we get 1 tefach from? Oh, because that's the din of ohel. When you're chotit begadish, we have in Daf Tezayin, right? That you're chotit begadish is a violation of tasav lo manasai. Unless it was already 1 tefach, then you could be chotit begadish the rest of the way. Where does 1 tefach come from? Ohel, right? All these dinim of tumas ohel that somehow relate back to tas. Yes, so we have all these dinim. So here also, we bring a raya from Mishnah Maseches Ahalos. Karos abayis va'aliyah, let's say you're middle of construction, so you didn't yet put the roofing material on your house, but you have the beams that run across the top of the house. So you have and they have two levels, two floors. So you have beams running across the lower floor and beams running across the top of the higher floor. But there's no masiva, there's no actual flat boards, you know, the roofing material. Vein mechuvanos, but the boards are parallel on the two levels, are parallel to each other. The beams that run across are parallel to each other from one level to the next. So then the halacha is tuma tachas achas mehen. If there's tuma underneath one of these boards, tachta tameh, then everything under that beam is going to be tameh, because we're assuming the beam is a tefach thick, so the beam itself creates an ohel. So if you have tuma underneath part of the beam and something else underneath another part of the beam, it's that's something else is going to become tameh. Bein HaTachton LeElyona, if the Tumah is in between the lower beam and the upper beam, Beinei and Tamei, then the area between the lower beam and the upper beam is going to be Tamei, because the upper beam forms an Ohel over the lower beam. Al Gabe Elyona, if you have Tumah on top of the upper beam, then connect out the Rekia Tamei. Then the Tumah is Bokas V'Ola Ad the Rekia, it goes straight up, but it's not going to go down, because it's resting on a beam that itself is an Ohel. But let's change the case. Let's say, yes, there are two floors, and they each have beams running across it, but the beams are not parallel with each other. They're alternating. So a beam over here on the lower floor, and a beam over there on the upper floor. Over here and over there, so they're not exactly parallel with each other. Ooh, so that changes everything now. So if you have Tumah on the floor of that house, the entire house is going to be Tumah. Anything is going to be Tumah underneath any of the beams is going to be Tameh, because apparently we view it as one level roof that covers the entire house. Al Gabeir, if you have Tumah on top of the beams, connect another Rekia Tameh. So we assume that Tumah is only going to go up, that there's not going to be any Tumah that transfers below, because it's like one flat roof and it's as if it's over the roof. Vitani Allah, and the Brisa says about this Mishnah, when do we say that scattered beams are viewed as if they're on an even level? That's only if they're a tefach wide. Aval ein beinein posech tefach, but if there's no tefach in between them, then tumah tachas achas mehen tachtea tamei beinein val gabein tahar. That if there's tumah underneath one of them, then underneath that beam is going to be tamei, but in between them and on top of them is going to be tahar. But Alma, what do you see from this Mishnah? That ki is be tefach amrin chavadrami, v'chiles be tefach l'armin chavadrami. That we only apply chavadrami when there's actually a tefach of width. If you have less than a tefach of width to the beam, then you're not going to say chavad rami. So Shvabi, now you see from here that the same is going to be true by schach, that when it comes to schach, if it's a tefach thick, a tefach wide of schach, even though it's way more than three tefachim above the lower levels of schach, but we could say chavad rami, we view it as if it's one even surface, and therefore it makes for a kashra sukkah. So now Yosef Rav Kahana v'ka'amar lahashmaita. Rav Kahana was saying over this teaching, amar le Rav Ashi le Rav Kahana v'kalhecha d'les be'tefach lo armin. Are you sure about that? Wherever we're not going to say, wherever it's not going to be a tefach, we're not going to apply the principle of chavad rami. Vatanya, but don't we have a braisa that tells us about a third area of halacha, and that is the area of shituvei mavuos and of creating a kora in order to allow carrying within a mavui. The halacha is that if you want to carry within the chatzer, if there are multiple batim within the chatzer, they only need to make an eruv chatzeros, and then the chatzer is surrounded by walls anyway, so they make an eruv chatzeros and that's good enough. But if you have multiple chatzeros that open up into a mavui, they need to make a shituvei mavuos. So all the different chatzeros in the mavui need to chip in for the same box of matzos to make a shituvei mavuos. Right, that we already learned. We discussed way back on Daf Gimel, I think we discussed that if a bayis that's pachas midalid al dalid amos, you're allowed to keep the shitufei mavuos in such a bayis, because the shitufei mavuos doesn't even require a bayis. You can even keep it in a chatzer. So you have such a din of shitufei mavuos, but shitufei mavuos is not enough. You also need to make sure that the entranceway of the mavui has some sort of hekker at the entranceway of the mavui. So that could be accomplished in two ways. Either a standing lechi, a standing pole at the entranceway of the mavui, or a kora that runs across the top of the mavui. In fact, that was the very first gemara that we had in this masechta that we spoke about, a kora that's the mala mechaf ama, that the halacha is yema'it. You have to lower it to below chaf ama. So when it comes to that din of a kora, ideally it should stretch across from one end to the other. But Vatanya, the Brisa tells us, Kora hayotza mikosel zeh, veinu nagas mikosel zeh. If you have a beam that comes out from one wall, and it doesn't quite reach all the way to the other side wall of the mavoi, v'chein shtei koros achziyotza mikosel zeh, v'achziyotza mikosel zeh, veinu nagasu b'zu. Or you have two beams, each one coming out of one of the side walls, but they don't quite reach in the middle. They don't reach each other in the middle. So what do you do? V'chein shtei koros achziyotza mikosel zeh, veinu nagasu b'zu. Pachas mishlosha, einu tzarech levi karacheres. If it's less than a three tefach gap, then don't worry about it. That's lavan. We've learned that 1,000 times already. They have a principle called lavan. Shlosha tzarech levi karacheres. But if it's more than three tefachim of a gap between them, then you need to bring another beam to close that gap. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Pachas me arba'a ein tzarech lavi karacheres, which is a great chiddush. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, the din of lavud is not three tefachim, but the din of lavud is four tefachim. That's Rav Shimon Gamliel Shita. We obviously don't paskin like that, but that's all Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying over here, that if it's less than four tefachim, don't worry, you don't need to bring another beam, because we're going to apply lavud to fill in that gap of four tefachim. Arba'a, but if it's four tefachim wide of a gap, tzarech lavi karacheres, then you're going to have to bring another beam. V'chein shtei koros hamat'imos lo bazu kedei lekabel ariach, v'lo bazu kedei lekabel ariach. And now another case. What if you have a beam? The beams have to be a certain thickness. It has to be thick enough to hold an ariach. Ariach is a brick of a certain size, and the size of the brick is 1.5 tefachim wide by 3 tefachim long. So we assume that a beam that's 1 tefach wide could hold with pretty securely an ariach. So only a beam that has 1 tefach of width is able to serve to function as a proper korah. But what if you have 2 korahs that are very narrow korahs, and they're right next to each other, they're parallel to each other, and lo bazu kedei lekabel ariach, lo bazu kedei lekabel ariach, but neither one of them is a tefach thick. Say in mekablos ariach lerachbo tefach, ein tzarech lavi karacheres. If together these 2 twin beams that are running alongside each other together are a tefach, then that's fine. That's a thick enough korah, and that's going to work. But v'imlav, if there's a gap between them, if they're less than a tefach thick rather between them, tzarech lavi karacheres. Then it's not good enough. You're going to have to go back to the lumber yard, back to Home Depot or whatever. Find yourself a beam that's a tefach thick and run that one across the mavoi, because what you have going on there with these very narrow boards that are right next to each other, these very narrow beams that are right next to each other, it's just not going to do the job. But then Rav Ben Gamliel Omer, in mekablus ariach la'orcho shlosha tfachim, ein tzarech lavi karacheres. V'imlav tzarech lavi karacheres. Even if you have 2 beams that together do not equal a tefach, but if you make a gap between them where they can support the length of the ariach, a 3 tefach length of this brick, by putting one end of the brick on one beam and the other end of the brick on the other, so that's going to be good enough. That's going to serve as a valid korah by the entranceway of your mavui. None of this has to do with chavut rami yet. All of this is just about lavud and about so hayu achas the mala v'achas the mata. What if though you have these 2 beams and one of them is a little elevated and the other one is a little bit lower? So Rav Yehuda Omer, Rowan ha Eliona ki iluhi lamata, Vesatachtona ki iluhi lamaila, Ubulvachlote Eliona lamala, Measramama, Vatachtona lamata, Measara. Then we can say Chavut Rami. We can view them as if they're right next to each other, they parallel each other, as long as the one that's higher up is not higher than 20 amos, and the one that's lower down is not lower than 10 tefachim. So as long as they're both somewhere in between 10 tefachim and 20 amos, then we can apply Chavut Rami. Hazev zebetoch esrim, amin Chavut Rami. Even though clearly we're talking about beams that are not a tefach, we're still applying Chavut Rami. Who said we're talking about beams that are not a tefach? Because if they were a tefach, they wouldn't need Chavut Rami. You wouldn't need the partner. You wouldn't need the other one. We're talking about when you have 2 beams where each one is not enough. Each one is not a good enough korah to be matzah the mavui. So if each one is not enough, I need to say Chavut Rami to partner them together in order that it will be enough. Well, if it was a tefach thick, then each one would be enough. You don't need to partner them together. So by virtue of the fact that you need to say Chavut Rami, you're telling me that we're not talking, that they're not a tefach thick. So even though they're not a tefach thick, we're saying Chavut Rami. So we're saying, how can you, Rava, tell me that we're only going to apply Chavut Rami when you have a tefach of thickness? Here we see when it comes to the, and I understand, Uriah is from a Mishnah Maseches Halos, and in that case, in the Mishnah Maseches Halos, it sounded that way. It sounded that like when it's a tefach thick, we apply Chavut Rami, and when it's not a tefach thick, we don't apply Chavut Rami. But what are we going to do in Erevin? In Erevin, it sounds like when it comes to a Mavui, it sounds like we apply Chavut Rami even though there's no tefach. Samalei Tritz Ve'emahachi. He says you have to say it as follows. Ulvat Shalotei Elyon Lamalame Eshim Ela B'toch Eshim V'atachtona Smuchala bepachos mishlosha. Remember we said that before Rava came along, Abaye came along and said, forget about Chavad Rami, before we even learned that there's such a concept of Chavad Rami, that if you have tzchach of two different heights, but they're within three tfachim of height of each other, then you don't even need Chavad Rami. Then we apply lovud, and then we view them as if the gap is closed between them. We view them as if they're all on the same level, because you apply lovud. So Rava says, yeah, that Mishnah that's talking about the mavoi and using those beams is not using Chavad Rami. It's using the principle of lovud. When we say that as long as the top one is not lamala me'ashrim, it's got to be betoch esrim, and on top of that, it also needs the lower level to be within three tfachim of height of where the top beam is. When we say that the bottom one can't be lower than 10 tefachim to the ground, it's got to be more than 10 tefachim off the ground. That means, and then the top one, that the higher one is within 3 tefachim of height of where the lower one is. Meaning, it cannot be that the bottom one is 11 tefachim off the ground and the top one is 19 amos off the ground. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying that they both need to be within 10 tefachim and 20 amos of the ground, and they both need to be within 3 tefachim of each other. So anywhere between 10 tefachim and 20 amos off the ground, as long as both are within 3 tefachim of each other, it's going to work. Because we're not employing Chavad Rami. We're employing the principle of Lavud, which is an entirely different halacha. Aval shlosh shakim v'dos peitechach lo min Chavad Rami. If the gap between the two heights of the beams are more than 3 tefachim, then forget it. Since the beams themselves are less than a tefach, we cannot apply the principle of Chavad Rami. So again, so Rava's source for the idea that we apply Chavad Rami when it's a tefach is from the case of Ahalos. We thought to bring a raya against Rava from the case of the Mavui, but Rava has an answer that the case of the Mavui is not employing Chavad Rami, the case of the Mavui is using Lavud. Pnei Shor raises a question, why don't we reject the raya that Rava brings from Tuma by saying Shiny Tuma de Hilchsa Gemirila, that the dinim of Tuma don't match up to the dinim of Schach, because Tuma is Hilchsa Gemirila. After all, that's what we said back on Daf Yud Ches when we had a machlokas whether Amrinan Lavud Be'emtza or Lo Amrinan Lavud Be'emtza. So we said that the Mandi Amr that says we don't apply Lavud Be'emtza brings a raya to a shita from Tuma, and yet we paskin that we do say Lavud Be'emtza. What about that raya from Tuma? So Gemara says, Nah, Shiny Hilchus Tuma because Hachi Gemirila. That this is Allah al Moshe Misinai of Hilchus Tuma. So didn't we learn from there that we cannot apply the dinim of Hilchus Tuma to the dinim of Hilchus Sukkah? Right? Pashtus says we shouldn't be allowed to apply them. Normally, when it comes to applying dinim of Torah from one area of Torah to another, so we say binyanav memetzinu. Whatever applies in one halacha applies to all the other halachas. But there are limitations on that. Isura mimamon lo yalfinan. Right? We don't learn iser from mamon, nor do we learn iser from tumentara. We assume that there are three areas of Torah that are not really that you can't apply from one area of Torah to the other, right? The Gra has says that that's what the Torah means when it says that bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega. So the Gra says, what's bein dam ledam? That's nida. That's hilchas nida. That's iser veheter. Dam ledam. Din ledin is dine mamonis. And nega lenega, that's tumentara. So the laws of one don't apply to the other. They're each their own tchum. They're each their own area of Torah that we don't normally apply from one to the other. We don't make a memetzinu just to apply from one to the other. Normally you would say that they're separate halachos. That's how the Kuzari writes that the question that the Kuzari raises is why it is that we still observe Hilchus Nida if we don't observe any Hilchus tumentara. So he says a raya that Hilchus Nida is a din in Isser Vaheter. That Nida Labaila is a din in Isser Vaheter. There are dinim of a Nida, that a Mishkav and a Moshev of a Nida, and all of those things, those are clearly dinim in Tuma. But Nida Labaila is a din in Isser Vaheter, it's not a din in Tuma Vatara. So the Raya is that Gra, that Bein Dam Ladam is the example, it's the prototype that we give of Isser Vaheter, as opposed to Nega Lenega is Tuma Vatara. So it is somewhat unusual to apply the halachos of Ohel, which is halachos of Tumentara, to halachos of Sukkah, which is Isser Veheter. Normally you would not say, and the Gemara said explicitly that by Oel, it's Hilchus Gemirila. So Pnei Yeshua says, how come we don't reject Rava's Raya over here? So he says, says, no, it's over. It's dafka by lavud where we reject it, because we find the din of lavud. We do find that the din of lavud by tumah is necessarily different than the din of lavud everywhere else, because everywhere else we say lavud applies with less than three tefachim. By tumah we say that if it's a pesach that's a poseach tefach, it's maybe a tumah, and we don't say that we din lavud it's kasasim. Meaning, if we really applied the din of lavud to ohel, then the whole din of ohel wouldn't apply. The din of ohel we say as long as there's a gap of one tefach, so then you apply ohel. What do you mean? A gap of one tefach should be closed. It should be lavud. So you see that the din of lavud is just different by Hilchos Tumah and Tahara. Whereas Chavad Rami, where it's halacha l'moshe misinai that we apply Chavad Rami, so it's not that we're applying the Hilchos Tumah and Tahara to Hilchos of Heter. It's dine mechitza. It's a din of what's called an oel, what's called a mechitza. So Chavad Rami is a din of a mechitza, so that applies equally to Hilchos Tumah as it does to Hilchos Isser v'Heter. Okay, so now says the Gemara Vayter. So we have two more little pieces before the Mishnah. So number one says Gemara, Vishnas Rumi Chamasa Ksheira. We had said that if there's more shade than sunlight, then the sukkah is going to be kosher. So frankly, Gemara Ki Adadi Psula. But that implies that if there's equal amounts of shade and sunlight, then it's going to be possible. The first Mishnah in the Masechta told us that if there's more sunlight than shade, it's going to be possible. But the implication is that if it's 50-50, if it's exactly the same amount, then it's going to be kosher. So it's a stira. So lokasha kan milamayla kan milamata. There's a difference between whether you're looking from the perspective of the schach or you're looking from the perspective of the floor of the sukkah, which Rashi explains means that when we said that if it's 50-50, it's going to be puzzle, that's if you're looking at the schach itself, because then on the floor there's going to be more sunlight, because the sunlight spreads out as it goes through the gaps in the schach. So that's where if it's exactly 50-50 on the schach level, then you know there's going to be more sunlight on the floor level, and that's where it's going to be puzzle. But if you're looking on the floor level and you see that there's as much shade as sunlight, that it's exactly 50-50 on the floor level, then you know that there's more schach than there is than there are gaps in the schach, and that's going to be kosher. And Amar Papa, Hainu Damri Inchi, that's what people say, Kizuzu Mil'el Ki Istra Mil'etachas, that what is a small gap the size of a zuz higher up becomes a wider gap the size of an istra Mil'etachas, meaning it looks like the sunlight spreads and it becomes wider, Mil'etachas becomes wider at the bottom. That's how Rashi understands this Gemara. However, Tosfos says he's got a couple of problems with this. If you look in the second medium-sized line in Tosfos, V'hikshra benutam, Rav Papa Gufei Dachis Leparakam Deirvin Paritz Ka'omed Mutter V'asam Nami Paskin Hilchsahachi. Rav Papa himself, who's the one that's talking over here, right, he's the one that's raising the question over here. Amar Rav Papa, right, he's the one that's not raising the question, but he's the one that's giving the remez to be able to understand the answer over here. He paskins that if it's exactly 50-50 in the mechitza level, on the mechitza itself, that it's going to be mutter. Whereas over here he's telling us, no, if it's exactly 50-50, the same amount of schach as there is airspace, over here he's telling me it's going to be possible, because that's going to create more chama on the floor of the sukkah. V'od kasha, d'amr perakam et gedushin, d'avdin shi d'kar l'palgas et zuza istra, also, the remez he's trying to say, according to Rashi, is that a zuz, a gap the size of a zuz, mila'el, is like an istara on the bottom. Makes it sound like an istara is a bigger coin than a zuz. But in Maseches Kiddushin, it sounds like an istara is a smaller coin than a zuz. So Rabbeinu Tam is an entirely different pshat. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, kan milamayla is if you actually measure the airspace milamayla, and it turns out that it's 50-50, it's kasher. Versus if you visually look from the bottom of the sukkah, and you're just looking at the airspace, you're looking at the gap, and it looks like it's 50-50, then it's going to be possible, because probably the gap is much bigger than 50-50. Because what you're looking at from the bottom, you tend to see things as smaller than they are when you're looking from a distance. Right, the Meraglim said that we were in the eyes of the giants. We were like we were like Chagavim, but we're not like Chagavim. But they're looking from so far away because they're so giant. So that which is big looks very small from far away. So when you're looking at the gaps from far away, that which is big is going to look very very small. Those gaps are going to look much smaller than they really are. I don't really understand the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, because just like you're looking at the gaps, you're also looking at the schach. Why are the gaps going to look smaller and the schach look bigger? To the contrary, the eye catches the gaps. No, the eye is going to look at the gaps will look bigger. That's what the eye is going to look at. If you have a picture where there are certain parts blocked off, your brain fills in the gaps of that picture. Whatever's open, you're gonna see more. You're gonna see through. You'll see the whole sky. Ki'ilu. I remember when they put up a mechitza in a shul in New Jersey, so they showed the rabbi like a portion of the mechitza. It was a glass mechitza with etchings on it, and they showed him a portion of the mechitza, and he said, yeah, it's part of it. It's omid murbala parts. It's good. The etchings block out anything. But then they put it up, and you saw everything, because the eye catches all of the gaps. That's the way. So anyway, I'm not sure I understand Rabbeinu Tam, but that's Rabbeinu Tam. Let's see, vayter the Gemara. Muva kamin bayis, if the thickness of the schach is like a bayis, tar rabbanan, muva kamin bias, even though you cannot see the stars from the sukkah, it's going to be kosher, which every preschool kid learns that you got to be able to see the stars through the schach. Not so, you don't need to see the stars through the schach. However, if even the rays of sunlight you're unable to see from between them, then Beishame says it's possible, Beisil says it's kosher. The Ran quotes from Yerushalmi, from the Lashon Machshirin, it sounds like L'chachila you should at least be able to see the rays of sunlight. The Sfasemis is Medayik from Lashon the Mishnah, Hamuv Kmin Bayis, that even though you're not able to see the Kochavim, it's going to be kosher, that L'chadchila you should even be able to see the Kochvei Laila. That's what we pass in the Torah, that L'chadchila, at the very least, you should be able to see the Kochvei Laila through the Schach, but certainly L'chadchila you should be able to see the rays of sunlight, but that's what the Torah writes, Beis Yosef Medayik from the Torah, that L'chadchila it's even best to be able to see the actual stars from between the schach. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Beis Amud Beis. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Asher Kavala, have a great day.
You too.
Also.